be simply, this is she, and I want to give thanks to each and every one of you that are connecting in this moment or in the next. Today we have special guest Missy Washington. She's joining us from Venice Beach, California. She is an artist, a creator, and a collaborator, and for a moment we'll take a walk with her as she shares her love for maps, the atlas, the art of a journal, and the art of creation through the eyes of a child. Without further ado, let's dive in with Missy. Sitting here with Missy, and we have been diving into your amazing journals and her artwork and her expression, creative expression, that's really inspiring. Missy, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I would like to start off by, if you could just share your love of travel and communication and conveying of a space through art form versus just photography, which many of us do, especially in this digital age with having access to the cell phone and all that stuff, and how it really communicates something to you and potentially others.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me here. I guess primarily my art form, as we're sitting here, is the sketchbook. The sketchbook, I've always kept one, and I think pretty much I don't know, my brothers do as well. Actually, we're all kind of artists. It's kind of having like a big travel trunk, like a treasure trunk that you just throw everything in. So when you're traveling, you put pieces of memorabilia, things that you learn, little bitty snippets of conversation that you catch. And then, of course, there's like reportage drawing, which I really love to do. You just draw on the spot. And actually, that often leads to all sorts of other experiences popping up. Like, for example, when I was in Cambodia, I was just drawing, and then like people came over and they asked me if they would draw some guy that was sitting across the cafe. So I said sure, and I started drawing him. And then like the next thing I know, everybody in the entire cafe was behind me watching, and the guy was having a great time. He was like trying to be really serious and look professional. And you know, and I like even I went back there like 2 years later, and they all remembered that exact moment. So it was really cool. It made me feel like, I don't know, that I kind of made like a little home there, you know. So, and that's just like kind of like a side effect of just putting stuff in my sketchbook. Mm. So, you know, it's really cool, and you can just kind of bring it along with you everywhere you go. And then when you look back, of course, you're just kind of like dredging up everything that you experienced, good and bad. You know, it's not all good, but you know, it's kind of like a living, breathing thing. So, really.
And if we were talking a little bit about how we can understand geography and culture and location, not really until we get there. If you can share a little bit about your experience as you throughout your life have traveled, and how that's touched you and how it kind of roots you in each of those different locations that you've gone to so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I come from a very small town in Virginia in the Appalachian area, so we never really did much traveling as I was a kid, and my parents aren't particularly big into travel, so I kind of lived vicariously through books and actually through atlases when I was a kid. And I used to, actually with my mom, just sit and look at atlases, and I know, just it was really fun to imagine that every dot on that map was an actual place that you could put yourself. And as I got older, you know, any opportunity that I could find to put myself in whatever dot was, like, I would jump at it. And so I've always loved geography and learning about all the different places and how people do things differently wherever you go. It's always been kind of fascinating. And the languages that, the differences and the little nuances, I just really love that, you know. And I don't know, I guess you just, if you have a good experience or if you have a bad experience, I mean, let's just, if you have anything that kind of moves you and changes you, and you're going to feel tied to that location. You know, you're going to feel tied to the people that you were with. So, I don't know, travel is just, it does change if you let it, you know. So I think after every place that I've really been, and when I say really, that usually means more than like 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think you can do it in a short amount of time. It's not like a vacation kind of thing, you know. You have to like really go and let it be your reality for a little bit, and not go with a lot of people too. I think traveling alone is a good way to do it. I mean, you know, like when I went to Cambodia, I think it's probably the one that really changed me the most, because I stayed there a year, and I went, I didn't know anybody, and I actually didn't really talk to anyone who wasn't Cambodian for a long time, so my head started going crazy because I didn't know Cambodian. So I actually just poured a lot of like what I was experiencing into the book, because I couldn't really talk to anyone else, but I was working really hard to learn, you know, and that was kind of interesting too. It does really tie you to each location that you've been when it changes you, you know.
And if you share a little bit about your medium, because looking at your most recent book, Into Africa and Climbing, and the different mediums from pencil to pen to paint to photography to typing, all different forms. WordPress, yeah, there was a website there. If you can just share a little bit about having your toolkit, and how is that easy for you, and or is it cumbersome, or do you feel naked if you don't have it with you?
Good question. You know, I've been stopped so many times for rubber cement at the airport, and actually, what do you call those, like the knives, the oil painting knives?
Yeah,
I've had a couple of those taken too. I always travel with like with art supplies. Usually the easiest is to have like a little kit of watercolors and different weights of pens and some different scraps of paper, glue, you know, just kind of some basic stuff. Glue is really important. And tape. Well, as a working artist, I have to work in all mediums. So I'm pretty comfortable in watercolors and acrylic, and I really love oil, actually. I use pretty much anything that I can get my hands on, but I go through phases, too, I think, like probably other artists, too, where you're just focusing on photography a lot for, you know, several weeks or even months or even longer, and then you'll just come back to, like, line drawing or something like that, which I've been doing a lot of lately, just drawing, just, like, really precise technical drawing, which I haven't done in a while. So you get out of practice a little bit, and you have to, like, you know, hone your skills back. And then portraits, like, I love drawing people. That's probably one of my favorite things to do, is to capture people. It fluctuates a lot, depending on like what your mood is and what you're feeling and how you want to express it. So sometimes like I won't draw for a while, I'll just be writing, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can you share a little bit about with your, we'll say college or university, was your technical upbringing, and how you feel the importance of that is, especially because your art is so tactile, where we've gone into a digital age and where kids, like my daughter here, can, you know, effortlessly create stuff on the computer, or maybe not so effortlessly. But what is the value of really cultivating those technical skills with your physical hands?
Yeah, that's a good question. Really good question. I'm sure things are changing, and they're going to change even more, you know, in the next couple of years. So I'm not even sure what art school looks like now. You know, like it's been a couple of years since I was there. But I don't think that it's ever really going to completely go digital, because there's, I don't know, we're living in a physical world, and there's, you can't replicate, you know, creating something by hand. You just can't do it. And there's it's different too. It's just I would say like digital is just actually kind of another art form. You know, just like painting, drawing, photography, and then you have like digital art. So it's, you know, it's just another kind of art. And I guess people will probably, you know, like veer into that more because web designs are so important and Instagram is, you know, like everywhere. And, you know, I love Instagram too, so. But my experience in art school, of course, was for the most part, it was physical, manual, hard work. You know. I went to Pratt in Brooklyn, and Pratt's an interesting place to go. And I won't say that I regret it. I definitely don't regret it. But it's a difficult community it's a difficult community to exist in because, I don't know, having so many artists in one place, it's like an angst syndrome,
right.
You know? It's But anyway, the location is very inspiring because the school's been around since the late 18, early 1900s, so there's pictures up on the wall of women with, like, the big, you know, hair and, like, the huge dresses, like Anne of Green Gables style, you know, and they're all with their pads in the exact place where you're sitting with your pad, so it's pretty cool. I really liked it for that reason, and all the brick buildings and stuff were fun to sit around and draw, and being right in the middle of New York, I mean, that was big for me because I was coming from, like, a little town in the middle of nowhere, so I had my backpack on, and I was, like, running around, exploring, drawing. It was really cool. So I don't think, in the digital age, I think that's still going to exist. You know, you're still going to have that transition, at that particular juncture in life when you're, like, exploring, you know. So, and you're going to, you know, documenting is different now. People document with Instagram and with, you know, like, other social media applications, but it's still documenting, and it's, you know, there's some similarities there, so.
You're creating the tablets.
Yeah, exactly.
The microfiche might disappear, vaporize. If you can share a little bit about your passion for teaching kids art and create cultivating kids workshops and what you would like to enrich their lives with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love working with kids. I think it keeps you on your toes and creative, you know, like, there's nothing better than, like, sitting around and just coming up with ideas, and nobody does that better than kids, you know, so it's so much fun. I used to work at the Boys and Girls Club, and we would just, man, like, bring out tons of supplies and just go crazy, you know, like, I guess my style is maybe not, like, an art teacher style. It's just, like, here's the supplies, and let's just come up with, like, tons of ideas and run with whatever. You know, it doesn't even matter, like, what we come out with. And I kind of tried to make that, like, really clear with the kids I was working with. Like, it doesn't really matter, like, what you create. It really matters about, like, that you're always pushing forward or just popping up with new things, you know. It's always about the new, the creative. And of course, you know, like, there is the, like, technical part where you're honing your skill. But I think, like, the best way to hone your skill is to keep pushing forward and trying new things. I don't know. I had some teachers when I was a kid who were that for me. So I would hope, you know, to be able to pass that sort of thing on to the next generation too. You know, it's the least I could do.
Beautiful.
And one thing that I was really taken with is, one, A, your watercolors, but also the creation of costume. And if you can share a little bit about your passion for that and almost the lost art form of that, other than what we see it in certain contexts. But, you know, there was a point in time where that was so a part of our life, more so on a regular basis than it is now.
Yeah, that's probably really true. But I think it's coming back around, you know, like, when I'm surfing the web, you know. I don't know, there's a lot of, like, kind of creativity with fashion, and people are just kind of, like, throwing rules to the wind now. I feel like now is a really good time to just, like, lay your individuality out, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is kind of what that is, and I work with Elisaveta let me know. She's a recording artist and opera trained singer. So her style really, I think, has some similarities with kind of like old world mixed with new world. And we've worked together on creating like kind of an image for that. And some of the designs come out of that kind of process. So there's flowers and architectural things that are worn on the body and on the head that like serve several functions. So you know, like you can actually fold them up or some of them, not all of them. But I guess like on the back end, they're kind of inspired by different things. But I get a lot of inspiration for those from characters, from books and things like that. Like I really. And this is going to sound pretentious, I'm sorry. But I really love Tolstoy.
You're so funny.
And I love Russian literature, okay? I said it.
It's okay.
So some of the characters from that, I can just see them wearing this kind of thing, you know, in some alternate reality where, like, they didn't have to be, you know, in their little cookie-cutter life. But I don't know. I guess the watercolors, I really like to, as we were talking about, document the process of making them. So really draw the character actually wearing it, or you know, create a character even from some idea and what they would wear and where they would wear it and why, and you know, like where are they going to strut that, you know, that
yeah.
kind of thing, and what's it made of and why is it made of that, you know, like I have one that's made of kind of like these mushrooms from the woods, so it's kind of thinking like wood. These kind of creatures, mm-hmm. and you know, like Midsummer Night's Dream, and you know, like, where do they get all this stuff? They're kind of like foraging all this crazy stuff from the woods, and then there it is.
So as you're speaking, I'm hearing the story within the story that's being created within your mind's eye as you create. If you can share a little bit about the relationship, one of these books that are these journals, these travel journals, but they're actually kind of records of a period, a place, and a time. And then the melding of what is being worn in those locations and where they come. I noticed, I think it was in the book from El Salvador, and some of the markets feeling like they were piles upon piles of stuff that was coming from just random places, and you really wonder, how did they get there, you know?
I really love all the details of the different cultures all around the world. You know, they all have something that grabs you when you see it, no matter where, you know. I think, like, the best example of that is when I went to Africa just recently. I was really, really lucky to be able to go to Africa and climb and spend some time in small towns there, and they have congas, the fabric that they wear there, and they're so amazing. They're so colorful, and they're really symbolic too. And I started looking into like the backstory of them, and they're named after the guinea fowl, little birds that run around. They're like polka dotted, and they have like kind of blue and red and all these colors. So it's neat. They were started off of these Portuguese scarves, and the women just like said, oh, okay, I'm going to wear that how I want to wear it, right? So they just started wearing it as like a bottom, a top, and on their heads, and it just, I don't know, like it's so vibrant. So I just really love, I wouldn't say that I'm really huge into fashion per se, but I do love patterns a lot, and I love how people can just, I don't know, just wear whatever they want.
So that expression and the details, if you can share a little bit how you feel it's important to A, express yourself, and the details that you love in your everyday life.
That's a good question. I guess, I mean, like I said before, I think that it's kind of opening up a lot, and that maybe that's kind of like the new modern world where you're, it's more okay to be yourself now than it ever has been, I think, especially with like just opening up to equal rights for everyone. I think it's a great time to be alive. Aside from all the reasons that it's not. But As far as individuality goes.
Well, expressing yourself and the details you love in your everyday life.
Details. Yeah, it's hard because, yeah, I guess, like, I really, if I let myself, I'll just get, like, way too detail-oriented. Some would say that's the Virgo. Mm. But, yeah, I guess that's why, like, I like drawing so much, because it allows me just to stop and just focus on, like, every little thing. And if I want to look at it and if I want to notice it, then I will, and then I'm going to put it down on the paper, and then I'm just, you know, it's a good way, like, if I go to the mountains, out in nature, actually anywhere, but recently I was in Yosemite, which is probably one of the best places in the world, and, you know, you go up to Glacier Point, and you look out, and, you know, you take a picture, you look at it, and then you go back down, and, you know, you feel, like, kind of in awe. But for me, one of the best ways to actually go up there and look at it, even if your drawing is not great, just to sit there and draw it, you know, and, like, looking at all the different, you know, all the different nuances of just vast, this insane view, you know, and you can actually, like, really write it into your mind. So that's, I guess that's one of the reasons that I really love to capture details.
They're fun to look at. It gives your mind something to do. So earlier we were talking about flowers and succulents. So what flower are you?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know, I should ask you that. Or ask you what flower you are.
A lotus or a lily or a bird of paradise.
That's what you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably all three.
Why bird of paradise?
I am an island girl born in Hawaii.
Ah, okay.
I've always loved that flower.
Mm-hmm.
So,
certainly unique.
Yeah, definitely. Unusual.
Yeah.
Kind of fitting for me.
I like that. I have to pick a flower.
Or a couple. I didn't stick to just one.
I usually like the good, the smelly ones. What are the hyacinths? That smells so good.
Fragrant.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother is really big into flowers. She has a really nice greenhouse that's connected to her house.
Mm.
She always takes you in there whenever anybody new comes by. She shows you all the stuff she's got growing. It's great. And last time I was home, she gave me a ribbon plant. So I'm going to pick the ribbon plant.
Okay.
She gave it to me, and she said it's been in the family for, like, a couple generations. So.
Wow.
So I've got to not kill this one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No pressure at all.
Yeah.
So what is on the horizon for you as far as creation, and what are you looking to move towards next?
Well, we've been looking at these sketchbooks. I'd really like to get one, two, or three possibly published. I would love to see it on my bookshelf. And I'd really like to go to Tibet, Nepal. I've kind of got a weird obsession with mountain climbing, especially since we did Kilimanjaro, and even before then, I've probably read every book on Everest. Not that I want to do Everest, but I wouldn't mind going to the vicinity of it. Yeah, and any place that, you know, I can do some rock climbing or mountain climbing would be really cool. Himalayas, I guess, that's my next travel destination.
Mm-hmm.
I have a map series that I'm working on right now.
Mm.
So I've been doing a whole bunch of kind of like my own version of 16th century maps, and those have been really fun. So I have one sort of for every book. So it's kind of like a map that goes along with the book. I have a map of Kilimanjaro that I've started on, and hopefully a map for Nepal, the Himalayan area. That would be really great. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Mm. And being talking about maps, can you share a little bit about how they speak to you and what you hope to convey through them?
It's hard. I don't know. I guess maybe I was a cartographer in another life. I don't really know. But I guess it kind of goes back to what I was saying before, where, like, when I was a kid, we didn't really get out much. So, you know, the dot on the map represents kind of like a place that you could potentially go, and you could see something that you've never seen before, and you could, meet some people that you've never met before and learn some languages, learn something, and it'll be just, you know, really fascinating and, I don't know, probably rock your world or something. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then there's also just visually. I think we all kind of respond to things that there's a lot that you can, like, chew on when you look at it visual arts-wise. So with maps, of course, there's like there's so much that you can look at and interpret, and it's there's a lot to think about when you look at it. So you can spend a long time on it. Mm-hmm. So and if it's stylistically done, then there's even more to look at. Which I don't know. I guess that's kind of if I'm doing a piece and I like to spend a lot of time on it, then I guess, you know, on the back end, like, maybe somebody else will look at all the little details, because there's tons of details in there. You know, even little small things that just kind of also reflect, like, the moment that you're working on it, too, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You remember the exact hour when you put that line.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would tell you that, like, the last one I did, my grandpa passed away while I was doing it, so I put, like, a little pub in there for him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, I had to put something else for my other grandpa. So, you know,
creating the memories.
Yeah. Little stuff.
Well, Missy, I want to thank you for taking the time, to show us your creation and inspiration. Amazing. We will put links to connect to you below and share your wisdom in the very near future.
Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. It's always amazing to see you, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Once again, I want to give special thanks to Missy Washington for joining us today. And being that the conduit to both our in-person interview and to our knowing of one another is Elisabetta, we are going to celebrate her both on her last album and her new EP, Beatrix Runs and Hero. We're going to play those two songs, Beatrix Runs and Hero. On that album, Beatrix Runs, you'll be able to connect with Missy's artwork, and if you connect with Elisabetta's work, you'll see her creation in costume form, too. Until next time, this is she signing out with a full heart, a big smile, a soft gaze, and a namaste. Be simply.
Beatrix runs because she knows that her heart beats like a vagabond, breathing hard, looking back, her past is breathing down her neck, up the hill, through the gate, across the bridge, oh, it is taking her away. Mom and Dad are fast asleep, and the sunrise creeping down the street. We'll wake up soon, but there's no. She's gone, she's taken by the road. A little girl in a dress, like a ghost swallowed by the mist. Don't tell me how to live my life. Tell me how to be alive. Mama dear, daddy dear, you know I'll be alright. All those lessons you could teach, you fail to practice what you preach. Mama dear, daddy dear, I don't belong to you. I'm headed for the night. Beatrix runs because she feels. Mire sucking. Back to the-